all of the dinner tables, I guess most of us are aware, we have a discussion. One topic that can lead to a heated debate is religion. Sex is another one, I think, and money and things. But let's zero in on religion. Religious discussions, they can lead to arguments, and of course on the world stage, killings and wars, and are sometimes hidden, by religion. What is the truth? Some fanatical views and intolerance, how much influence the September 11 bombings had, for instance, with religious beliefs. I've got three guests with me, and we're going to discuss their beliefs and just see what comes out of that. With me, I've got Carl McCander. He is, of course, with St. Bridget's here in Dubbo. Carl has been a guest before, and nice to see you again, Carl.
Thank you, Leo.
And also David Bennett. He's the Western Plains Baptist Fellowship leader, and we've not met before, but David, nice to see you as well.
Thank you, Leo.
Now, online, we've got the spokesman for the Islamic Council, Ahmed Abdu. And Ahmed, good morning to you.
Good morning, Leo. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And could I just see if you guys are all hearing each other? Could you say good morning to each other? Carl?
Good morning, Ahmed.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Ahmed.
That's good. So we started off nice and friendly. I like the sound of that. could I ask the three of you maybe to give me just a quick overview of why you chose your particular direction? I mean, basically, we have a Catholic person here and a Baptist and, of course, one of the Islamic faith, a Muslim. So maybe, Carl, if we could start with you, why did you prefer the direction of the Catholic side?
I was born into a family with an Anglican father and Catholic mother. My father wasn't active as an Anglican. He used to drive us 7 miles to Mass when I was a boy because my mother didn't drive. So I grew up going to Catholic worship. I did my 4 years of Catholic high schooling at Mudgee. And during that time in high school, I felt a call within me to the priesthood and to serve God and to do this with my life. Went to the seminary for 6 years in New Zealand. And apart from learning to play rugby, moved deeper into the Catholic tradition. And in the last 24 years as a Catholic priest, my reading, prayer, faith experience has, I suppose, confirmed or grounded that Catholic tradition of the Christian religion in my life.
Right, okay. Bring up this thought, David Williams, who's a classic guitar picker, once said that he was indoctrinated by it. He might have made a very good plumber had he gone that direction. Do you think this might have a bearing on the way you guys come through? Like the way you've been brought up is very important. If, for instance, if you were in Afghanistan, you could have ended up a Muslim with the same
upbringing? Yes, I think the environment, the social setting that you're reared within makes the difference. Mm. But there's also an individual movement of spirit. I'm one of four children, and the other three are not so committed to Catholic tradition in their life.
Mm-hmm.
They would call themselves Christian in some way, but they are not full-on active in that tradition of the Christian religion.
Right. David, what about you, David Bennett?
Well, of course, I was born in the USA, and my parents went to various churches, but when I was a young boy, they started going to the Independent Baptist Church in our hometown. At 9 years old, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when I was a teenager, I knew God would... I grew up on a farm, and I knew God had called me to preach. And it wasn't until after I was married that I surrendered to preach. And then I went off to college, and we had four children by the time I finished seminary and all. Then I went to Minnesota and pastored, and then believed that the Lord was calling me, leading me to Australia. And so we came in 1979. We landed here in February of 1979. And I have met you before. You interviewed my wife and I when we became citizens a year or two ago.
Oh, dear. That's right, too.
The Lord, I agree with Carl. Not sometimes the way we are brought up, but we also do find that God deals with people in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're talking about the God of the Bible, which I believe is the God of the heaven and earth, he deals with us in a way that he deals with son that he calls unto his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I did. My wife was brought up differently. Her parents were not Christians. But in some way, at a funeral of a cousin who had passed away, the preacher gave a gospel message. And she came to understand that she was a sinner and she trusted Christ. and her parents still aren't saved. But out of her family of seven, most of them now have trusted Christ as Savior.
All right. Now, you two haven't always seen eye to eye, and one of the discussions that I have seen in the papers, for instance, has been over the Muslim religion. Mm-hmm. So let's find out a little bit more about that right now with Ahmed Abdu. Ahmed, what is your story of involvement?
Well, early on, our family many, many years ago wasn't too much of a practicing traditional family in the Muslim faith. However, we're of the view that God guides whom he wishes to guide, and it sort of sparked in my mother first, who decided to put on the veil which the Muslim women wear, and it sort of instilled a sense of modesty within the whole family and started to infiltrate into every single individual. And so we all began to be revived and attended our weekly lessons and classes, Quranic study circles, Arabic classes, and began to be a little more comfortable in the Muslim tradition. And we started to connect with other Muslims in the community. And I believe when one is isolated, it's very difficult to practice one's faith. However, when surrounded with like-minded individuals, you tend to find something common, and there's some type of strength in this mass and numbers. And then again, it was simply going back to the natural disposition which I was brought into this world with. Clean slate, innocent, without inheriting any sin at all, submitting to the one Creator. And that's where I've gone back, and that's what the Muslim tradition teaches.
Mm-hmm.
Simply to go back to that nature that you were born with.
Okay. Ahmed, where was this? Where were you born?
I was born here in Australia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Went to school here in southwestern Sydney and completed a bachelor's degree in business here. Last year, I went around Middle East and Europe touring with some of the reputable Muslim scholars in the Western world. One of them was, in fact, involved in advising President Bush with the recent September 11 attacks. His name was Imam Hamza Yusuf.
Mm-hmm. Now, the name Ahmed Abdu, is that a name that you take on, or is that your birth name?
That was actually my birth name. Ahmed actually means in Arabic the one who is praised most often, named after the beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who we see as the final and the seal of the prophets. And Abdu in Arabic means his servant or his slave, that is, the slave of God. So it's quite an interesting name, combining two of the main elements in the Islamic faith, which is the prophethood of Muhammad and the divine oneness of God.
Right. Could I ask you, and then I'll ask the others as well, what part do you feel religion of any sort played with the September 11th? I mean, it was a horrific act, and the whole world, every time we mention it, we think of the Muslim religion or the Islamic faith, because it does seem so many people with that belief are involved one way or another. What is your view on that yourself?
Well, first of all, I believe on September 11, Islam was hijacked as a religion, as well as everyone else on the plains. Religion, I don't see, did play, at least Muslim faith, did not play a part, because if whoever the perpetrators were practicing the moderate Islam, then you would never see anything like that, any act whatsoever such as that nature that happened on September 11. I believe it's an extremist type of interpretation that some people, and you tend to find this in all religions, it's not only the Muslim tradition, but really every religion has its vigilantes that try to take the law in their own hands.
Mm.
And really, without a Muslim state or authority, no one can declare this type of jihad or holy war that was deemed to be declared on America and the citizens of America. There's no such thing as that in Islam. So really, it's a warped interpretation, sort of clinging at straws. A number of factors playing at the actions that caused September 11, and it's to do with military, to do with economics, to do with power, to do with struggle, and using the excuse that we all as a people have been been attacked and been under scrutiny by the whole world, and trying to take some type of revenge, but there's no type of this revenge in Islam.
Right. Ahmed, I'll just ask David and Carl if they would care to comment at all with their views on that. Carl's nodding his head, yeah?
I would agree with what Ahmed said in terms of third world conditions, economic and political and other strife driving people to some sort of desperation. But I came across a thing on the internet early November by an Italian theologian, Bruno Forte, who basically says religion transformed into an ideology is a very great danger because in it the confusion between good and evil becomes total. Even the greatest barbarity can be justified in virtue of transcendent value. Moreover, when this religious ideology is joined to the use of the most advanced technology, the result is unheard of violence. So he's basically saying when religion moves over from being a faith relationship with God to an ideology that is humanly based, then the blurring of the line between good and evil happens and anything is justified for the ideology, which is fanaticism.
Okay. David, you
can tell me? The 11th September incident, I take it that Ahmed is saying, along with others, that it wasn't Islamic. I hear this word toleration today, which I agree with toleration. A saying I heard many years ago was every person has a right to their opinion, but that does not mean that every person's opinion is right.
Mm-hmm.
And with toleration, we need to understand that there will be those that do not agree with us. And in our country and in other countries that we're familiar with in the Western world, we have the liberty to speak that we do not agree one with another. Now, whether these people who committed this on September 11 were the kind of the Islamic faith that Ahmed is, I do not know. But whatever reasons they committed what they did, it is shown in countries that are ruled by the Islamic faith that they do not have tolerance towards those who do not agree with them. Now, if a person truly knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they then carry within them the belief of soul liberty. That means that that person has the liberty to believe as their conscience dictates, as long as it doesn't interfere with the liberty of the other person. As an old preacher once said, you have the liberty to fling your arms all you want, but that liberty stops where my nose begins. And so, as far as religion or other views, we should have that liberty to debate or disagree or to stand outside of another organization's door on the footpath and hand out literature saying what is going on here is not true and here are the reasons why.
Do you think, though, in time, desperation sets in? I mean, you've only got to look through history. We have the Pope, for instance, apologizing at the moment for evangelizing the Aboriginal people, not just in Australia, but right throughout the islands and whatever. Now, at that time, everyone thought it was right, everyone had to be Christian. In fact, it was your duty to save others so that you could go to heaven for saving others.
Well, you're talking about something else. If you're looking at the Bible, the Lord Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. And you do
not force it on people.
No, you cannot force anyone. You might force them to say they believe certain things, but you cannot change their mind or their heart. And so when we preach the gospel, we're preaching to someone who is, according to the Bible, dead in sin, for all have sinned.
Yeah.
So what you do is preach the gospel believing that it's God that's going to change the heart and mind. You're not going to do it. So I agree that what was done, but Bible-believing people, now Carl would disagree with me on this, but those that believe the Bible would not go and do those things for which the Pope is now apologizing.
But if I may say that, David, I mean, time brings changes and everything changes with time, as they say. At one time, we believed taking children away to give them an education, clean them up and whatever was the right thing to do. Now, we're paying for that. But at that time, so many people genuinely thought, and I'm not talking about the sexual abuse, I mean, that's awful. Like, the Catholic Church is now apologizing for that as well. But time does change and our beliefs change. How can we be tied to any religion, anyone at all, when we know that in time to come something else can be justified or unjustified? I mean, those people who genuinely believe they took the law into their own hands on the 11th, look again through history, the Congo, murderous events took place to bring changes which turned out in the end to be the better. Ahmed, would you like to come in on this?
Yes. Now, at this point, I'd like to quote a verse from the Quran that says, "Let there be no compulsion in religion." Now, what that means is exactly what it says. Let there be no compulsion in religion. Now, the view that some people who claim they are Muslims take, that is, that they must enforce Islam upon other people, upon other lands, and conquer other lands in order that they embrace Islam, because Islam is the all-encompassing truth, really is a falsified approach. Because the Quranic instruction is that you cannot force any religion, not just Islam, but any religion on anyone else, because faith comes within one's own individual conviction. You must be convinced beyond any doubt that the belief that you are taking upon is the belief that you are comfortable with, and so you have seen the evidences and you are totally convinced. Therefore, the Muslim state, the Muslim authority, and there was a Muslim authority for many, many centuries. For example, it really ruled a great deal of the Middle East and Muslim Spain in its time for a number of centuries. And Muslims, Jews, Christians lived in wonderful harmony there. The Muslim state protected the Jewish faith, protected the Christians, did not allow the destruction of any synagogues, any churches, any temples, any places of worship of any one who followed any religion. And if any non-Muslim, any Jew or any Christian were to be under any threat under the Muslim authority, then that person was to be taken as a citizen of the state and protected with all the power of the Muslim authority and treated just like a Muslim under that state. So Islam doesn't only protect the Muslims, it protects every single individual as long as he or she does not transgress any boundaries of someone else. So stays within his own sphere, not doing any injustice to any other individual.
Right.
Once injustice comes into the scene, then that's where the law needs to be enforced.
Yeah, Ahmed, could I ask you, to be a Muslim, can you be something else as well? Like, can a Catholic be a Muslim?
Well, to be a Muslim means you must believe in all the prophets. So that includes Jesus, Moses, Jacob, Abraham, and the rest of them. To be a Muslim means you must believe in the oneness of God and in the finality of the prophethood of Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now, if a Christian can do that, believing in the Quran as the word of God, believing in Muhammad as the final seed of the prophets and all the other prophets, then really that are the main elements of Islam.
Could you be converted, David?
Well, I did do a little bit of reading in the Quran that I picked up, and I think the Quran has various translations into English, but the one I picked up, it said in it on page 44, the only true faith in God's sight is Islam. Well, a Christian, born-again believer, could not accept that. Psalm 119, 160, Titus 110. So, these verses. The Quran also says Jesus is a prophet. Well, we believe he's the Messiah. He is the one that came and paid the debt and penalty for the sins of man. They say God is not a trinity. 1 John 5:7 tells us that God is a trinity in Genesis chapter 1.
So you can obviously bring up quite a few reasons why.
Well, a Christian who's born again cannot become a Muslim just because it goes against what the scriptures and our sole rule of faith and practice are the scriptures. You have to have a foundation.
Okay. Ahmed, I think you were trying to come in there on something, were you?
If I could qualify where Islam is the true religion. Now, by Islam, meaning submission to the will of God. And so Muslims don't say that only Muslims are going to heaven. For in the time of Jesus, those who were following Jesus as Muslims would believe as a prophet of God, then would be granted that success. Those that were following Moses and the previous prophets also granted success. Those that were following Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, also granted success. And the catchphrase here is faith and action. So Muslims don't believe in faith alone, meaning you believe in God, you believe in Prophet Muhammad, that's it, you're saved. No, you must also perform action, because faith without action is absolutely futile and will gain you no reward whatsoever in the hereafter.
Carl, I think, wants to say something here too.
Yeah, I suppose for me, as in the Christian religion of the Catholic tradition of it, I would differ from David in that in the 60s with the Second Vatican Council, the Catholics would say that everyone living according to good conscience, according to the truth that they know, Muslim, Buddhist, Jew, Christian, will enter eternal life with God, will go to heaven because they're living according to conscience, which is the gift within us according to truth. We would say that there is one God, known by us as a Trinity, known by Muslims as Allah. In that relationship with the one God, if you live according to it, like Ahmed has said, then you will find salvation. We would also say, though, that, as David has said, that Jesus is the Messiah, which is a greater understanding of who he was than being a prophet. Interestingly, someone asked me recently, in the light of Afghan refugees here in Dubbo, how do we see Muhammad? And I suppose there's a Christian prejudice in that we don't really worry about Muhammad, or we haven't seriously looked into his message, whereas Muslims are more serious about seeing right. Jesus as a prophet.
Okay.
And as Catholics also, we have the Bible, but we also have 2,000 years of tradition with a big T. So the evolution in the Christian understanding in the last 2,000 years is important to us as Catholics, and I'd say mainstream Christians, versus born-again or Pentecostal Christians, that we would say these last 2,000 years have revealed a lot that the Bible doesn't reveal in terms of the culture, the environment, the history.
Okay.
God working through
that. Just leave that there for a moment. I'm finding this very interesting.
I'd like to have an hour.
Yeah, I'm sure you would, David. But could I just ask the three of you, for instance, you brought up the illegal immigrants situation. From your points of view, what is the answer to that? Are we prepared to just open the floodgate and whatever? Ahmed, we might start with you on that. What are your views on that?
Well, I mean, it's quite ironic because the greatest number of illegal immigrants actually come from England, and they come here on overstaying their working visas. So the illegal immigrants isn't coming from Afghanistan or places such as that.
You read that in the paper. I read that too.
The number of so-called terrorists who people may believe or have some type of inclination that they are on these boats has been seen to be quite minimal. I think it's all good and well that Australia is trying to safen its make its borders a little safer and control the intake of outsiders, of foreigners into Australia. That's great. It's a lovely country. It's one of the best countries in the world, and I'm very, very proud to be an Australian. But we also don't have to, we should not forget our compassionate obligations, our obligations to people in the world that are not so well off as we are, people who are fleeing Taliban regimes, regimes that are oppressive, fleeing them to find refuge in places where they can practice their faith, where they can practice their freedom as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to also be looking at solving problems, not just creating problems. By bombing Afghanistan, all you're doing is the default, displacing innocent civilians there, converting them to refugees. So with one thing happening on one hand, on the military warfare strikes, you've got another problem that's being created, and I think really this is a situation that has to be addressed.
Right. So as a spokesperson for the Islamic Council, that would be the general view, not just your own personal one?
Well, yeah. It would be the general view that, yes, Australia has a responsibility to protect its borders. However, we must not forget the compassionate side of our humanity.
Yep. Okay, David, what do you...
Well, I'd like to go back. I know we don't have much time.
No, I'd like to go forward with that one, David, because...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Carl has to have a foundation, and the Bible has to be your foundation, no matter what Big T has. As far as the immigration, I do not know how some of those over in those nations would immigrate if they don't have a consulate and so on. I know when we came here, we had to go through a due process that we had to meet. And personally, I believe that even with the compassion, if they do get to the country, you have to put them somewhere where you can investigate. As far as what Ahmed was saying about Islam, those countries that have Islamic governments do not allow for that freedom that we know in this country. And I agree with John Howard in a sense that if you allow all of this to continue, you may not. You may only have one out of 1,000 or 10,000 who is of this type of Islamic faith. But what if you do? And then he gets more of those type of people going along with that. So I think what the government is doing may not be all that they should be doing, but I think it's certainly a beginning.
On the right track. Okay, Carl, what's your view on it?
Yes, there needs to be some sort of border protection, but I do think there's a racist and religious prejudice base to the policy at the moment. If they were white Zimbabwean farmers fleeing the trouble in Zimbabwe at the moment, I'm sure Australia would welcome them with open arms, but because they're dark-skinned Muslim Afghans fleeing the same sort of trouble in their own country, we exclude them or we put up barriers. So while there needs to be a realistic approach to it, there is, I believe, in the government's hand, a racist and prejudice.
Just very quickly, in the couple of moments we've got left, all the news on cloning at the moment, embryos being cloned. Just a very quick answer from each of you, if you could. Carl, you've got the floor at the moment. I guess whether it's a personal view or the Catholic view as such, are we for or against controlling what could be our destiny?
We
as humans.
Yes, well, we in the Catholic tradition morally would say that human life shouldn't be tampered with from the moment of conception.
What about the health situation? I mean, we're doing operations on the hearts, we're doing all sorts of things to keep people alive. Is this a logical next step or not?
You're dealing with a new human life in terms of an embryo.
Well, at the moment they're talking about, of course, aiding, you know, better healing situations for people who are suffering through it. But yes, of course, I agree, in the end it will be there. But,
yes, so that's the Catholic stance will be against the interference with human life.
Okay, David.
And conception.
Well, the Bible says life begins at conception. And we hold to that. So it's interesting that we've gone from abortion, now we're discussing euthanasia, now we're discussing bringing in new life so that we can keep other lives going. And I wonder what will be next. Do you?
Oh, yeah, I certainly do. I'm all for euthanasia.
How about in terms of Ahmed? And I downloaded yesterday from the internet that the Pope has called for a day of prayer and fasting on December the 14th for Catholics and other Christians to pray for peace, and that's the last day of Ramadan. So it's linking in with the desire of Muslims for peace in the world, that Christians pray on that same day.
Carl, we'll just we'll go back to you, Ahmed, now. And are you Ramadaning at the moment? You're not eating? How are you feeling?
We are Ramadaning, fasting. We're about halfway now. We have about another half a month to go.
Okay. Just on cloning, very quickly, if you would.
The Quran talks about how God has perfected human life. I think at the moment we're heading into a brave new world. We all can sort of foresee the type of difficulties that will arise. But I think Islam really is of the view, similar to the Catholic view, that human life is not something to be tampered with if the intention is not for something of betterment of human, of the health level of humanity.
Sure. Ahmed Abdu, I do want to thank you for joining us online from Sydney. Of course, he is spokesman for the Islamic Council. Thank you very much for your time, and I'd like to keep your phone number and do it again.
Thank you, Lee.
Okay, and of course, David Bennett from the Baptist Fellowship and Carl McCander from St. Bridget's. Thank you both
as well
for your time today.
Thank you, Leo.
There are many things we haven't touched on yet. I thought maybe sometime in the future we could do something and maybe have an open line where people could ring and ask questions. But I found it very interesting, and I thank you all for your time today.
Thank you.
Okay, it is now almost 11 o'clock, and of course that's news time. We'll come back with a whole lot more, and I hope you can stick around for that. Right now, though, to you, it is news time.